Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome again to another episode of Israel Now Radio Show. This is your host, Yahshua, with Israel Now. First and foremost, we want to give all praise and honor to Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim, the Almighty, giving them thanks and praise for everything that the Most High have done unto us and for us, and calling us out of darkness into this marvelous light, that we can understand the truth and what is going on today, and how to receive eternal life, which is the gift that Yahweh promised to the righteous. So also just want to give a big shout out to everybody who kept Passover with us, everybody at Israel Now congregation, everybody at House of Yah congregation, from Yosef and Benaiah, Obadiah, all the brothers and all the sisters there, even the little ones as well, you know. And on our end, everyone, you know, the congregation in Cincinnati with Aharon and Ak Yosef in Cincinnati, and all the family, all the friends, everybody that came through. It was a great time. And all the brothers from Detroit as well, in Philadelphia, everybody who came through. Just want to give a big shout out to everybody. You know, we did a great job, had a great time. It was really, really beautiful. So just wanted to say that as well. So we'll have a short show today, probably go about 30 minutes today. But so I'm going to just get right into these scriptures. I'm not going to play a song today. I'm going to focus on the season that we're in right now. We're dealing with Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. But now I'm going to focus a little bit on some of the misconceptions that some of our people are having that are lost. Because we want to definitely always go and seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we got to put a lot of these lessons out there to bring light unto our people. I know we say it all the time about the 3 days and three nights and things like that. And versus Friday night, death, Sunday morning, you know, resurrection was being taught among the modern day Christians. So we just want to bring some light to this area. So I'm going to just read some scriptures and give some understanding and go from there. So I'll start off in the book of Mark chapter 7 and verse 9. It says, "And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of Elohim, that ye may keep your own tradition." Now this goes across the board. You know, we see this in the Christian community most definitely, but we also see this in the Israelite community as well. A lot of times people don't know they're doing it until it's brought to their light. But then you have to be humble enough to accept the truth. So as the Messiah said, rejecting the commandments that you may keep your own tradition. Let's all be careful not to do that and not to ever fall into that type of snare, right? Because a lot of times you don't know that you're in that snare until someone else from the outside come and let you know, like, hey, this is a tradition that you thought was a righteous thing, or you thought was something the Most High wanted you to do, you know. And speaking of this whole season that we're in now, speaking of what the masses of the children of Israel was doing yesterday by celebrating Easter, which is a totally wicked holiday, a totally evil holiday, has nothing to do with the Messiah, has nothing to do with the scriptures, has nothing to do with the Most High at all, has nothing to do with the Most High's people, the children of Israel, has nothing to do with the righteous people that dwell on the earth. All right, so it's a total wicked holiday. All right, and so you don't want to reject the Most High's commands that you may keep your own tradition. And that's what our people did yesterday in masses all across this country, all across the world. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 12. So what we want to do, as the scripture says, "And all you're getting, get understanding." That's what we want to do, get understanding, because without understanding, people are liable to tell you anything, and you're liable to believe it. I've seen people that be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine all the time. I will see people, you see them one Sabbath day, they believe this. You see them the next Sabbath day, they believe something different. You see them the Sabbath after that, they back to what they believed in the beginning. Get tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. All right, Matthew 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's the sign right there. The Messiah was going to be dead in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. All right, 3 days and three nights. So with that being said, if you're being told, if you believe that the Messiah died on Friday night and he rose Sunday morning, that's going against his own words, right? They clearly said he will be dead in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So Friday night is one night. If he died Friday night, which those of us that know the truth know he didn't die Friday night, but we're going to do this count for our brothers and sisters that don't understand what's going on here. So if he died Friday night is one night. Saturday daytime is one day. Saturday night is two nights. Sunday, you don't get to count a daytime because they said he was gone early in the morning while it was still dark. So you have two nights and one day. Therefore, if you're looking for a Messiah that died Friday night and rose Sunday morning, that's not the Messiah of the scriptures. And this is the reason why all the people that believe he died Friday night and rose Sunday morning, they don't know the Messiah. They don't have the Messiah of the scriptures. And I'm talking about from the Christians to the Old Testament only Israelites to whoever else, to some Muslims and whoever else, right? Because, of course, the Old Testament only Israelites don't believe in the Messiah anyway, but they believe in this same count. They believe he died Friday night too and rose Sunday morning. That's why they can't accept him, because the Almighty put blinders on those people. All right, everyone who do not accept Yahawashah HaMashiach, the true Messiah who died for our sins, they have blinders on. And it's as simple as that. So at the same time, we have our Christian brothers and sisters. What are they saying? He died Friday night, rose Sunday morning. That's the reason why they're keeping Easter, which has nothing to do with the scriptures, because they don't know that they worship or they serve or they look for another Messiah that's not the Messiah of the scriptures. That's the reason why they go to church on Sunday, because they truly have a different Messiah than the Messiah of the scriptures. That's the reason why they think December the 25th is his birthday and Christmas is some type of righteous day, because it's not the Messiah of the scriptures, right? That's the reason why they do all of these things, and they don't understand the simplest scriptures, right? So 3 days and three nights. Let's go to John chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. John chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. Let's go here. Yahusha answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walks at night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. So the Messiah Yahusha said here, Are there not 12 hours in a day? So if the previous scripture told us he's going to be there for 3 days and three nights, that's 72 hours. It's not 72 hours between Friday night death and Sunday morning resurrection. 72 hours, 3 days and three nights, right? So let's go to Matthew 28. We'll read verses 1 through 6. Matthew 28. It says, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of Yahweh descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Yahweh Shah, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. All right, so it says at the end of the Sabbath when they came, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. That means the sun was about to come up, and it's the first day of the week now. As it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. That's when they came, right? But he was already gone. He was already risen, okay? So they take that to say that he rose early Sunday morning, but that's not what they say. They say that they went there as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, and he was already gone, right? So Matthew 26, let's go here. Verse number 17. Matthew 26 and 17 says, Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Yahweh Shah, saying unto him, Wherewith thou that we prepare to eat the Passover? Now this is what they were doing. They were keeping the Passover at the time of the Messiah's death. And that is very important, because unless you understand the laws concerning the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which came the very next day, you will not understand the scriptures when it talks about the Messiah's death and how long he was in the grave. You will get confused and you won't understand these scriptures, right? But it all makes sense, and it all go back to 3 days and three nights. That's what it all goes back to. So with that being said, let's look at the law so we can make some sense of it before we come back to the scriptures in the Gospels. All right, so Leviticus 23, let's go there. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 4 through 8. It says, These are the feasts of Yahweh, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. To the 14th day of the first month at even is Yahweh's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto Yahweh, 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation. And ye shall do no servile work therein. So we see that the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, first we see the Passover. The very next day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the first day, we're commanded not to do any work of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the seventh day, we're commanded not to do any work on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we have the Passover one day, which is the 14th day of the first month. The very next day is the first day of Unleavened Bread, which will be a Sabbath, right? Because the word Sabbath means rest. So it is a rest day. It is a day we were commanded to not do any work, i.e. commanded to rest, right? Among other things. So, if we take that understanding, let's back it up with Exodus 12. We're going to read 15 through 20. Exodus 12, verses 15 through 20. It says, 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. Only that may be done of you. And ye shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, ye shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. All right, verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Verse 20, ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations ye shall eat unleavened bread. All right, here are some more of the laws concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Just to sum it up again, it just added a little to what we already read in Leviticus 23. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is 7 days, right? You shall not eat any leaven for those 7 days. You must eat unleavened bread for 7 days. On the first day and the last day, you shall have a holy convocation. On the first and the last day, you're commanded not to do any work and to gather together, which that's what the word holy convocation means, gather together, right? But it also said no leaven shall be found in your houses, right? So you have to get all of the leaven out of your houses. This is where spring cleaning comes in at. This is where that whole tradition. All right, shalom, shalom. Sorry about that. We got disconnected, but I'm back on. Okay, so we in the book of Exodus chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 6 through 10. Exodus chapter 13, verses 6 through 10. It says, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, even in the seventh day shall be the feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. There shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. So it says here, there shall no leaven be seen with you in all of your quarters. Right? So, verse 8, and thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which Yahweh did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. This is done when we came forth out of Egypt. Verse number 9. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that Yahweh's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath Yahweh brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. So the Most High said, we shall do this in its season from year to year. Keep doing it every year. Every single year, we shall keep this ordinance in its season. Now, what's another part of the ordinance? All right. Another part we just read, that there shall no leaven be seen in our quarters. All right. So look at verse 7 again. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. There shall no leavened bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. So at first it said get it out of your house. Now it's saying out of your quarters, right? So we didn't have it nowhere around us, right? Nowhere around us, period. So let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 27, because all of that is important to know what was going on during the time of the death and burial of the Messiah. And if you don't understand those laws, you don't understand what they were talking about during the death and burial. You won't get the count right. All right, Matthew 27, verse 62 through 66. It says, now the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Now, first off, when it said the day that followed, the day of preparation, it is not talking about the preparation day is not Friday. All right. The Messiah just kept the Passover, all right? Then it talked about the next day that followed the day of preparation. So what is the day of preparation? The day of preparation is the Passover day. No matter what day of the week the Passover falls on, that's known as the day of preparation. And in this year, when the Messiah kept the Passover, the day of preparation fell on a Wednesday, all right? So let's keep going. Verse 63, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as ye can. Verse 66. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. All right, so they sealed the stone and they set a watch. All right, so now we know and we understand that the day of preparation, the next day, right, is when they sealed it. The next day, the day that followed the day of preparation. All right, so let's get some more insight on this. Let's back up a little bit to verse 58. Verse 58 says, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Yahushua. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. All right, so this was during his burial time. All right, so now let's go to John, and it's going to give us some more insight on exactly what we just read, on exactly this day and what's going on. So John chapter 18, let's go here. It's going to clarify a few things. John 18, verse 38 through 40. John chapter 18, starting at verse 38. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? So now, this is clearly the Passover day. All right, do I release the King of the Jews? Verse 40. Then cried they all, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. So they wanted to release Barabbas instead of Yahusha. Right? But when was this? It was on the Passover. All right? We can see that clearly, that it was on the Passover. All right, let's keep going. John chapter 19. Now watch this. Watch verse 14. Verse 14 is very key. It says, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, behold, your king. So now we understand when we read back at Matthew chapter 27, when it talks about the preparation day, is the Passover day. No matter what day of the week it's falling. So what happens is we keep the Passover at nighttime, right? You keep the Passover at night. And then the following daylight period is still the 14th day of the first month. So it's still the Passover, but it's the Passover daytime. But the Passover nighttime is the time that you have the Passover meal, right? And keep the feast. The Passover daylight portion is the preparation day. Well, what are you preparing for? You're preparing for everything that's going to happen the next day when the sun sets. You're preparing for everything that must be done during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And what must be done? All the leaven has to be out of your houses. All the leaven has to be out of your quarters. All right? You're getting all the leaven out of your house, out of your quarters. You're making your unleavened bread and all these different things. Right? So that's what the preparation is for. And you actually need a preparation day for the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread more than you need a preparation day for the Sabbath day. The reason why is because during that time, they got all the leaven out of their houses, which we still do today, but they actually got all the leaven out of the land of Israel, period. Totally out of the land of Israel. You need a preparation day for that as a whole nation. Every person getting it out of their house, every person getting it out of their quarters, right? You need a preparation day for that because you can't get it out of your quarter. Then you put it next to somebody else's quarter or in somebody else's house. We all Israel, all living in the same land. You need a preparation day for that. So the preparation day is not Friday, preparing for the weekly Sabbath. The preparation day in these scriptures is, as it says in verse 14, John, I'm going to read it again. John chapter 19 and verse 14 says, and it was the preparation of the Passover, right? And about the ninth hour, He said unto the Jews, behold your king. That was the preparation day. The Passover day was the preparation. All right. So just going through these scriptures really quick and just kind of hitting little things really quick, because, like I said, we're just going to do a quick 30 minutes today, not get too much in depth with everything, but just going back and forth, hitting these scriptures really quick. And we look at the timeline. We understand that now the Messiah died on a Wednesday, right? Because it all fits to 3 days and three nights. He died on a Wednesday night. So he was in the grave. Wednesday night is one night. Thursday daytime is one day, right? And that Thursday daytime was still the 14th day of the first month, and that was the time that the preparation was going on, right? That was the time when they were preparing to get all the leaven out of their houses and out of their court, right? So Thursday daytime is one day, right? And then Thursday night started the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? So that's two nights. And then Friday daytime, well, let me start it off. Wednesday night is one night, Thursday daytime one day, Thursday night two nights, Friday daytime 2 days, Friday night is three nights, Saturday daytime is 3 days. So Saturday, when the sun set, that's when the Messiah rose, and it completed three daylight periods and three nighttime periods, and then he rose. That's why when the women came early in the morning, the first day of the week, while it was still dark, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, right, the Messiah was already gone. It didn't say he was risen. It said he was already gone because he died on what we know of Saturday when the sun set. He completed the Sabbath and rested on the Sabbath, and when the Sabbath was over, that's when he rose, because that completed 3 days and three nights. As he said, this is the sign that you will know I will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And that's the completion of it. So what the Christians have done, they read that the preparation day, and they assumed that that was Friday because they understand that the Sabbath is Saturday. Actually, Christians actually understand that, even though they don't keep it. You know, even of itself, the way they explain their story will let you know that they understand that the Sabbath is Saturday. But like I said, not going to be too long today. But again, thanks for everybody for listening. And, of course, join us again next week, Israel Now Radio, next Monday, 9 p.m. Same number, same time. Also, everybody in the Cincinnati area, come visit us, Israel Now Synagogue, Israel Now Congregation. Hit us up on Facebook at Israel Now, I-S-R-A-E-L. Space N-O-W-W. All right, you see our logo. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit our brothers up in House of Yah down in Louisville, Kentucky. Also, Lost and Found Israelites down in Fort Worth, Texas, and Chosen Sea in Detroit, Michigan. Hit all of us up. Come join us, because we're teaching the true doctrine, the Almighty's word that the Almighty called his true servants to teach. Shalom, shalom.